Why do bad things happen to good people? It is a constant question, a nagging uncertainty that can cloud our hearts and seem to darken our faith in an all-powerful, all-loving God. It is a classic argument used by most atheists against God. If he were really all-loving, all-good, all-powerful, why does he not intervene to stop the suffering of good and innocent people? If you or I were to see a child drowning and do nothing to help them, people would consider us cowardly and cruel. And to God, we could say that all of us are like drowning children, and he could save us in an instant. Why is it not cruel for him? God is not in heaven like a child using a magnifying glass on an ant just to cause us pain. He does not cause evil to us. Jesus did not kill Lazarus. But God does allow evil to happen, just as Jesus let Lazarus die. Still, we wonder, why? In the first place, we can blame Adam and Eve for this broken world. Originally, God designed it so that we would not have to suffer or die. But humanity lost that gift in their pride, rejecting God's design and trying to make ourselves like God as the serpent promised to us. Bad things happen to good people because this world is fallen. It is broken, and ultimately, this world is temporary. In the second place, our idea of a good person can be quite vague, a bit inaccurate. Yes, we are created by God and loved by Him. Yes, we are naturally good, but we are also naturally fallen and corrupt. And our personal standard for being good usually boils down to being nice and not killing anyone. Those certainly help, but true goodness far surpasses that. As we learn from Scripture and Jesus' own example, being good is a radical commitment. True goodness is willing to sacrifice for others. It is disciplined, it is obedient, it is humble, it is completely reliant on God. Real goodness is the same thing as holiness, and that is not as common as we like to believe. So sometimes bad things happen to people we think are good, but this suffering uncovers a hidden need to improve. It is no challenge to play at being a good person when all goes well for us, but the difficult moments prove goodness, like gold in a furnace. We do not give the Medal of Honor to the soldier who shows up to the base 9 to 5 to sit at his desk. No, we give that honor to the men and the women who face down great evil with great courage, who manifest their goodness precisely when bad things happen to them and those they love. Sometimes bad things happen to good people to make them better. And there is the third, most mysterious reason. We can start with a story. One day, Saint Teresa of Avila, this great mystic who often spoke with God, was traveling by carriage to continue her work of reforming the religious order of the Carmelites. And suddenly, a wheel broke off of the carriage, and Teresa was thrown out, hurting herself when she hit the ground. And at that moment, she heard the Lord say to her, "See how I treat my friends." And with a saintly honesty, Teresa quipped back, "Well, it's no wonder you have so few of them." No wonder indeed. God let his own son be tortured, mocked, and crucified And he loved no one more than his own son. What do we expect for the others that God loves? This is one of the deepest mysteries of the Christian faith, but also our greatest asset. Because when suffering encounters goodness, real goodness, that suffering produces love. Consider this gospel. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days. Jesus loved them, so he waited. He waited because he loved them. How is letting your friend die when you can stop it? How is letting him die a loving thing to do? Martha, Mary, and everyone else says, well, if he was here, he could have stopped it. We know that. He just should have come sooner. But Jesus waits, and he waits because he loves them. And he waits because he loves us. When suffering encounters goodness, it produces love. The suffering and sadness caused Martha to produce love by strengthening her faith so that she can proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The mourning of Lazarus's friends and family troubled and perturbed Jesus, giving us the brief and very powerful verse, "And Jesus wept." Jesus' tears for his friend reveal his love to others who did not see it before. And of course, still there are those voices. Could he not have done something? Could he? Why bother with what he could have done? See what he will do, what he is doing now. Take away the stone. By now, there will be a stench. Do we believe enough to risk smelling the stench of death? Take away the stone, believe, and you will see the glory of God. Not the glory of simply healing or avoiding suffering, but facing it head on and enduring it. When suffering encounters goodness like Jesus Christ, it produces love. Lazarus, come out. It produces love that conquers death. It produces the tears of love. It produces the resurrection. Untie him and let him go. Untying the bonds of worldly attachment, untying the bonds of ignorance and pride, it is the suffering encountering goodness that produces this freedom. And Jesus says, let him go, untie him, liberate him from this broken world, and allow him to walk freely into eternal life. Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. Would they have believed if Jesus had come earlier and prevented the death of Lazarus? If he just willed the sickness away, healing from a distance as he did in other cases? Well, why weren't the other healings, the other miracles enough for them before now? Why is this time different to make them believe? Because when suffering, when it encounters goodness, when it runs headlong against the God who is goodness itself, that suffering finds only love, love that not only endures suffering, but grows in the midst of it. We do not always know why a particular evil happens to a particular good person. But we do know that if we face that evil with faith, with the goodness of God, it will produce greater love and lead to everlasting life.